from Stoic Wisdoms, conviction over willpower. Your life contains a mystery you've probably stopped noticing. There are things you do effortlessly, day after day, without needing to motivate yourself or summon discipline. And there are things you claim matter to you that require constant forcing, that you can maintain for a while through sheer will but eventually abandoned, returning defeated to the same patterns you were trying to escape. Why can you do one but not the other? The usual answer is that you lack discipline for the hard things, but that can't be right. You're doing genuinely difficult things all the time in the areas where you show up consistently. The difficulty isn't what's stopping you. Something else is happening that nobody talks about. Epictetus didn't treat discipline as something you build through repeated forcing. He was less interested in strengthening your will than in correcting the judgments that govern it. He talked about the alignment between what you claim to value and what your actual behavior reveals you value, and he understood that when those two things diverge, it's never because your will is weak. It's because what you claim to value isn't what you actually believe is worth doing. Watch someone who says health matters to them but can't maintain basic exercise. We call this a willpower problem. Epictetus would call it a belief problem. Their behavior is perfectly rational given what they actually believe. They believe temporary comfort is more valuable than long-term health. They believe immediate pleasure is more important than future capacity. They believe avoiding discomfort matters more than building strength. They don't believe these things consciously. They probably deny believing them if asked directly. But belief isn't what you profess. It's what you do when you think nobody's watching, when you're tired, when choosing is hard. Belief is revealed through action, not through statement. A person who can't exercise doesn't lack discipline. They're perfectly disciplined at honoring what they actually value, which is staying comfortable right now. Problem isn't that their will is weak. Problem is that their conviction about health being important is weaker than their conviction about comfort being important. This reframing changes everything about how you approach change. If the problem is willpower, the solution is forcing. You grit your teeth, push through resistance. Build the discipline muscle through repeated acts of will. You treat yourself like an animal to be trained, a force to be overcome, an enemy to be defeated. If the problem is conviction, the solution is examination. What do you actually believe? Not what do you wish you believed, not what sounds good to say you believe, but what does your behavior over the past year reveal about your actual hierarchy of values? Because that hierarchy is governing every choice you make, and no amount of forcing will override it for long. Marcus Aurelius understood this distinction. His private writings aren't primarily filled with exhortations to push harder or force more. They're filled with reminders about what actually matters, examinations of whether his behavior aligns with those things, investigations into where his stated values and his actual values diverge. He'd write, "At dawn, when you have trouble getting out of bed, tell yourself, I have to go to work as a human being. What do I have to complain of if I'm going to do what I was born for?" He wasn't trying to force himself out of bed through willpower. He was reminding himself of what he actually believed about human purpose. If he genuinely believed human beings are meant for work that serves others, getting out of bed stops being a willpower battle. It becomes obvious. You just get up because staying in bed contradicts what you believe about what humans are for. The question is, did he actually believe it, or was he just repeating something that sounded good? You can tell by looking at what he did. He spent decades as emperor handling responsibilities that would have broken most people. He didn't do this through superhuman discipline. He did it because he'd internalized a conviction about duty that made not doing it unbearable. The conviction did what willpower never could. It made the right action the path of least resistance. This is where most people get stuck. They try to build conviction through repetition of affirmations or exposure to inspiring ideas. They read philosophy, listen to podcasts, collect quotes, think this will change what they believe. It doesn't. Ideas encountered abstractly rarely penetrate to the level where they actually govern behavior. Genuine conviction comes from somewhere else. It comes from direct experience of consequences, from seeing with your own eyes what happens when you live according to certain values versus when you violate them, from paying the full cost of your choices until you understand viscerally what those choices actually produce. Musonius Rufus taught that philosophy must be practiced, not just studied. He argued that students should fast, endure discomfort, practice living with less not as punishment but as education. You can't build conviction about simplicity being superior to luxury through reading arguments for simplicity. You have to experience both ways of living and feel in your own body which one actually produces the flourishing you seek. Most people never do this experiment honestly. They try simplicity for a day while the entire time mentally comparing it unfavorably to luxury, waiting to return to their comfortable baseline. They never give simplicity a genuine chance to reveal whether it might actually be superior once you adjust to it. Real conviction requires staying with something long enough to get past the adjustment period, past the point where your old preferences are screaming at you to return into the territory where you can evaluate it based on what it actually produces in your life rather than how different it feels from and what you're used to. So they never develop real conviction about it. They just develop more evidence that they prefer comfort, which they already knew. This is why conviction can't be forced. You can force yourself to do something for a while through sheer will, but you can't force yourself to believe it's worthwhile. That belief only comes from experiencing its worth directly, from seeing its effects in your own life, from understanding through lived experience rather than through abstract reasoning that this way produces better outcomes than the alternative. Where does this leave you if you want to change? If you can't force conviction and you can't build it through abstract study, how do you develop it? By conducting honest experiments with your own life. Choose something you think matters. Don't choose something you wish mattered or something that sounds impressive to claim matters. Choose something that, when you're really honest with yourself, you suspect might be more valuable than how you're currently living. And live according to that value consistently for long enough to get past the adjustment discomfort and into the territory where you can evaluate it based on results rather than novelty. This might take months. It might take years. But there's no shortcut. Conviction only forms through direct experience of what different ways of living actually produce. If you think health matters, don't force yourself to exercise through willpower. Live as someone who genuinely values health for 6 months and see what that life produces. Does it actually create the vitality and capacity you hoped for? Do you feel better, think more clearly, move through the world with more ease? If yes, you'll develop conviction about health. If no, you'll develop conviction about something else. If you think meaningful work matters more than impressive credentials, don't just tell yourself this. Actually choose meaningful work over status for a sustained parity.